How do you do? Wrestling is a strong man's sport, and the young man in this story built up his strength and musculature so he could compete in the state heavyweight wrestling competition. But he didn't build up his character. He was simultaneously wrestling an unseen but powerful enemy that he couldn't defeat until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the way, the truth, and the life, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. There were not as many homeless people on the streets in 1877 as now, but George and Sarah Clark looked, and there was none to help. So they opened a little storefront in Chicago's Skid Row. They gained a powerful helper, and the doors have never closed at the old lighthouse. Today, Pacific Garden Mission is still helping hundreds of men, women, and children each day. The mission provides hearty meals, fresh clothing, and a clean, safe bunk for the night. Even medical and dental care in the mission clinic to resident guests, all without charge. Mission pastors and counselors lead them in paths that they have not known, introducing them to the one who promises to make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3273 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, Ron, your muscles are really developing.
Yeah, I'm working out every day now. I can bench press more than any kid my age.
Keep it up. Now you have the camel clutch down solid. This week I can teach you the inverted face lock camel clutch.
It's so cool to have an uncle who's a wrestling coach.
Remember to keep your grades up, though. You need a high GPA if you want to get a sports scholarship at a good college.
Yeah, plenty of time for that.
Don't be full of yourself now. Stay away from drugs, Ron, any kind. Cigarettes and beer, marijuana, they'll all destroy a good athlete. Many guys have been sidelined by drugs and parties.
Not this one.
Hello.
Mr. Cook?
Yes?
I'm working security here at the heavy metal concert downtown. Your son got into trouble down here.
What happened?
Well, he started to fight in the mosh pit. When we moved in to break it up, he hit one of our guards in the face.
Is the guard all right?
Well, he was wearing glasses. That blow could have damaged his eye.
Where's my son now?
Well, the police arrested him.
The man in our story was 15 years old and veering onto the wrong path in life. This is the story of how he was intercepted and redirected. The true testimony of Ronald Stephen Ray Cook, right now on Unshackled.
I grew up around Dayton, Ohio, the first of three children. I have a younger sister and a brother who was born mentally and physically handicapped from CMV, a virus. Most of our extended family drank or smoked marijuana. Though one of my uncles, who coached me in wrestling, didn't do either. Family gatherings were boisterous and fun, and I wanted to be like them. Mom had different ideas in my youth.
No, I don't care what you say. Prayer makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, remember when Ronnie was little and some lady ran over him at a church camp? The preacher and I prayed for him all the way to the hospital.
So that's what's wrong with him now.
No. He might have died, but God spared him and he came through just fine. Then there was the time Ronnie swallowed a bottle of pills and we had to have his stomach pumped.
Yeah, now we pump his stomach full of food.
We don't call him hungry cousin for nothing.
Oh, I know that God has plans for Ronnie.
I wish you wouldn't always talk about religion.
Yeah, I don't, Vince, but when people bring it up, I'm not going to ignore it.
Oh, come on. You go on and on about God and the Bible.
Well, God has done amazing things in my life.
Yeah, then why did he give us a boy with so many problems? Makes you look foolish talking about God's goodness.
No, I don't blame God for that. I caught that virus while I was pregnant, and it affected the baby.
And how do you explain Ronnie's problems? Asthma, poultry allergies. Why didn't God answer your prayers?
He answers in his own way, in his own time, Vince. Maybe he wants to teach us patience.
It takes patience living with you.
Well, I wish you'd stop drinking so much. It's a bad influence on the kids.
In the future, I wish you'd keep your religion to yourself and out of family gatherings.
We hardly ever missed a church service while I was young, even with my handicapped brother in a wheelchair. But after 10 years of Dad's resistance, Mom began to let go. Then we quit going to church. She took a job as a waitress at a restaurant that served alcohol. I remember one night very well when I was 11.
Hello?
Hey, sis. Is Vince home?
Yeah, you want to talk to him?
Yeah, can you guys come over here?
What's going on?
A couple of jerks in the neighborhood keep tearing up and down the street in their four-wheeler dirt bikes. All that noise is hard on my little girl.
At my uncle's house, they locked me inside with the other kids while Mom and Dad and my uncle argued in the street with the neighbors. Dad was soon fighting a strange man, and I tried to break out to help Dad, but the police arrived and took my dad to jail. After Mom quit going to church, we stopped going to the parochial school. By then, I had behavior problems. On my 11th birthday, I asked my older cousin to bring me some marijuana. We walked to the store to smoke it.
Okay, Ronnie, ready to get high?
Yeah.
Make sure no one's coming when you take a hit.
Sure.
I remember one night when the cops raided our house, looking for drugs.
Where were you?
Hiding. We saw them throw our stuff all over the floor, so you don't want to get caught. This joint has LSD crystals in it, so you're in for a ride.
Uh-oh.
Not to worry. I won't let you do anything stupid. Here, have a drag.
Mom came looking for me and questioned us, but we denied any wrongdoing. Then I began to sneak whiskey from my dad's bottle, replacing it with water. Lying and being sneaky came easy to me. In junior high, I sometimes got high before school or at lunch, and I lied about staying at a friend's house. I tried to sneak in without being seen when I was drunk or stoned.
How was work?
The usual. Is Ronnie home yet?
Yeah, he came in about a half an hour ago.
A half an hour ago?
He said the movie ran late. I swear he was drunk, but he tried to walk straight.
Maybe we should move. His cousins are a bad influence on him.
Well, your brother is a good influence.
I know, since he coaches Ronnie at the high school.
When we moved to West Carleton, my bad habits tagged along. I attached myself to a gang of guys that met at fast food restaurants and filled their minds with rap and heavy metal music. Sometimes we fought with other gangs, but I would always try to leave before the police came. An older kid recruited me and a couple of other kids to help him shoplift, but the police caught us.
I know what you did, kid. You switched price tags.
No, I didn't.
Who are you working with anyway? I know there's an older guy pulling this scam. What's his name?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Tell me, are you going to jail?
I don't know.
All right, you're under arrest.
I was also arrested several times for curfew violations and received tickets and warnings for fights and loud parties. I was arrogant, and I bought a gun just to show what a big man I was. But I sold the gun because I never wanted to use it. Rap music revved me up, and I punched a security guard at a heavy metal concert. The police called Dad, and I had to go to court, where I lied and told the judge I hit the guard accidentally.
Ronnie, what is wrong with you? You're always getting in trouble.
I said it was an accident, Dad. I was trying to punch another kid.
Don't be punching anybody. You're lucky the guy you hit didn't show up in court.
Yeah, I know.
Ronnie, you can do better. You were really drunk when I picked you up. You've got to concentrate on your next wrestling match.
I know. It's next weekend.
I'll be there. Now take out your aggression on your wrestling opponent, son.
The judge made me do drug screening, but friends taught me how to cheat on that. I was very self-centered and wanted everyone to notice and respect me. I thought I was smart enough to escape going to jail, smart enough to pull my grades up and get an athletic scholarship. I was wrong on both counts.
We'll hear more about Ron's dilemma in just a moment. By God's grace, Unshackled goes out to more than 2,700 radio stations and outlets around the world, reaching places that have never heard the gospel, that do not allow churches or Bibles or evangelism. Millions of people hear God's word on radio and learn about His love. Unshackled is the longest-running radio drama in history. Each week since 1950, another true testimony of God's power at work changing lives. What a ministry! Broadcast at first in English, then Spanish and Arabic were added before the end of the last century. Then, as people in other countries heard these testimonies and wanted their own countrymen to hear in their own language, these nationals began translating the dramas and broadcasting locally. Now, Unshackled is broadcast in Japanese, Korean, Albanian, Romanian, Russian, Polish, Portuguese, Greek, and French. Every year, new languages are added. Every day, more people receive Christ as Savior through these true stories. The ramifications go on and on, as we well know. So if you or someone you know has a testimony to share, write and tell us. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Your testimony could mean the difference between life and death for some listener somewhere. Our website, www.unshackled.org, has reference forms online that you can submit. As Jesus said, "Go and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Please include your address.
To earn money for popular shoes and marijuana, I worked mowing lawns during the summer and shoveling snow in the winter. When I was 16, I got a job at a pizza place so I could buy a car. One night I was drunk and drove into a tree, smashed my head against the windshield glass.
Ronnie, what happened to you?
I had an accident.
Good grief! Vince, come look at your son!
What's wrong?
You have blood running down your face, that's what.
What happened to you?
I ran into a tree.
How did you get home?
I backed up and drove here.
That's crazy. You should have gotten help.
I'm sorry.
You're drunk, Ronnie?
Just because I had an accident?
That was a stupid thing to do, to drive home.
Why?
You might have blacked out and caused another accident. Besides, you're supposed to file a police report.
It was just me. No other car was involved.
You still have to file a report.
I can tell. I know you've been drinking.
I want to see the car.
Windshield's broken. My head cracked it.
You'll have to get rid of that car.
Come on, Mom. Accidents happen. I wanted to go to a party one night, and Mom wouldn't let me. I got so angry, I punched a hole in the wall. My self-control had not grown with my strength. Sometimes, I beat people up for the fun of it. Because my uncle coached me and I worked hard in high school, I did well in wrestling and football, and the local television station interviewed me as the athlete of the week in Dayton and Montgomery County. Hello?
Congratulations, Ron. I just saw the interview on TV.
Thanks.
Are you getting any nibbles from colleges?
Yeah. Some of them want me to play football, and a few have called me at home.
I knew you could do it. All those football awards? Yeah, they're paying off.
That's great.
Are you keeping your grades up?
Well, I'll have to do better next year.
Oh, what's your goal?
I'd like to play for Ohio State and then go professional.
Well, what's your GPA?
Not even a 2-point.
You gotta do a lot better. Bring those grades up.
My senior year came and I cut back on parties and drugs and studied harder. While wrestling, I tore a ligament in my knee, but still finished the season as fourth in the state, which was one of the toughest in the country for high school wrestling. My family was excited, but my sister was disgusted at my boasting. Then, the third best wrestling college in the country asked me to join their team.
I heard you got lucky, Ron.
What do you mean lucky? I worked hard to get that offer.
You talked with the coach?
Yeah, I just have to get my grades up and finish this year.
Say, buddy, would you do me a favor?
Sure, what?
Could you rent a hotel room for us so we can have a little party?
You can't rent one yourself?
No, you have to be 18 to rent a room.
Well, you're not going to get me in trouble, are you?
No, it's just a couple of guys and girls, but everybody's parents are going to be around and we want to get wasted.
I'll do it, but let me know which one you can afford. I rented the hotel room for them and went by that night to see how things were going. Everything seemed okay. The next day, I went back to check on them again.
We don't want maid service.
It's me, Ron. How'd it go?
Not too good.
Man, this place is a wreck. Beer cans all over the place. What happened?
After you left last night, some more guys came by. They broke into the room next door.
You're kidding.
The room was empty.
Why didn't you stop them?
They wouldn't listen to me.
I ought to beat you up for this.
I tried to stop them, Ron.
Yeah, I'd better see if there's any damage. You guys clean up this mess. Ah, the room is in my name. I don't want to get in any trouble.
We'll clean it up. Then we're out of here.
I found a big mess in the other hotel room, too, and a broken window. As I was cleaning up and trying to fix the window, the manager walked in.
What are you doing in this room?
I'm trying to fix the window.
You are trespassing. Look at this room. I'm going to charge you and your friends with burglary and vandalism.
Whoa, I wasn't here. I just heard what they did, and I came to clean it up.
I don't believe a word you say, and I'm going to call the police.
I'm trying to clean it up. Please don't call the police. It'll ruin my chance to get into college.
Well, it's too late for that. You're going to jail, young man.
But I'll make this right.
Hello, police. Send officers to the Carlton Hotel. We've had a burglary and vandalism, and I'm the manager, and I'm holding the suspect right now.
I cooperated with him and waited for the police, who came and questioned me. I explained what happened and offered to pay for the damages, as well as paying for the room for an extra night, but they took me to the city jail and charged me with misdemeanors. I waited almost 2 days before I called home.
Hello?
Mom? It's me.
Where have you been? We've been worried sick.
I got arrested. I'm in jail.
Oh, Ron, arrested for what?
I wasn't in the news.
No?
It's a long story, but it wasn't my fault. Look, I don't have my medicine, Mom. Can you bring it to me?
Which jail? The city or the county?
The city jail. I'll go before the judge on Monday.
Oh, I can't believe this.
I'm sorry. I'll never come back here again. I was so ashamed having Mom see me behind bars. She didn't stay long and we didn't say much. I was in jail for 3 days, fined and had the charges put on my record. I returned to school and graduated, but I had blown the opportunity for a scholarship, so I went to junior college in Joliet, Illinois. They had a football team, and I tried to bring my grades up. Unfortunately, I didn't bring up my morals. I smoked a lot of marijuana, and I was still shoplifting. One day, my roommate and I stole some jackets at the mall and were caught. We agreed to return the merchandise and weren't charged. Hello?
Ron, how's it going in there?
Okay, Dad.
Look, I have some bad news.
What?
Your cousin Greg was killed.
What? What happened, Dad?
Speed. He was in a car full of guys going through town way too fast. They say 100 miles an hour. They hit another car and then slammed into a wall.
Was he driving?
No, the driver was killed and so was Greg. They found him in the river. Another guy survived, but he's injured pretty bad.
Oh, this has been a bad year.
Yeah, I heard about your friend getting killed when that guy's truck flipped over on him.
He was always hanging out the window as they drove around.
I'm sorry, son.
I had sunk so deep in sin that I became depressed. The more I sank, the emptier I felt. Friends were dying of accidents and overdose, and I felt dead inside. Sometimes I stayed alone in my apartment reading the Psalms, identifying with the hopelessness of some of the passages. I cried out to God. Oh, God, please help me. I've messed up so bad, and I don't want to go to hell. I was desperately hungry for some way to change the road I was on when a group of Christians showed up on campus and started having Bible studies. When a pretty girl invited me to join the group, I went. Maybe this would help me out of the pit I was in.
So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
That's right. Very good.
I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, when someone is born again of the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit dwells within him from then on, as a gift from God, a seal of God's promise.
A seal.
Of eternal life, of a home in heaven. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption."
Born again. I've heard of that.
Yes. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Are you born again by going to church?
No. Some people go to church all or most of their lives, but never put their trust in the blood of Christ to save them. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
So, how do you go from being lost to being saved?
Repent of your sins and ask God to save you because you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
The Bible truth Mom once taught us began coming back to me, reminding me, convicting me of my sinful, selfish, and sordid life. I went to the Bible study several times. One day, I took my roommate's dog for a walk. We went to the football field bleachers, where once I sought adulation and pride controlled me. I saw how depraved I had become, and God humbled me as I cried out to him. "God, I'm sorry for the way I've lived. Please forgive me if you can, and come into my heart forever. I'm sorry for people I've wronged. Forgive me and help me live for you. I want to be saved and live to please you."
Thanks for walking my dog, Ron.
That was a walk I'll never forget.
Why?
I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior.
You got high?
No, I'm serious. I asked God to save me, and my life's going to be different from now on.
I'm not sure I like this.
You need the Lord too, buddy. Otherwise, you're going to go to hell someday. Even after that, I struggled with living a moral life. Sometimes a bad word slipped out of my mouth when I was angry. But God kept reminding me of who I was in Christ. After a few months, I went home. I didn't want to be in a place of temptation. "I'm sorry for all the trouble I caused you, Mom."
"As long as you're okay now. Are you going to go back to that junior college?"
"I don't know. Mom, I'm praying about that."
It sounds strange to hear you talk like that.
You used to talk like that.
I know. And I was ridiculed.
I remember.
You know, I got so depressed, always defending myself and God.
I have a lot of good memories of going to church with you, though, Mom.
You know, I should have stayed with it. Maybe you wouldn't have had problems as a teenager.
The Bible talks about things like that. Here, I underlined one. Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
True.
Remember the night you wouldn't let me go out and I punched a hole in the wall?
Yep. A friend of yours was killed that night.
God was watching over me even then. I didn't know that the biggest battle of my life lay ahead of me, that I would face death several times.
Next week, we'll hear about that battle, how Ron fought back, and how the fight is still ongoing. But Ron has a helper who fights alongside him, who has promised never to leave him or forsake him. Listening friend, do you have that kind of help going through life? Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Abundant life is yours for the asking when you turn to the living Lord who gave his life a ransom for you. Isaiah chapter 45 proclaims, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." You can know him by asking him to come into your life right now. There are no special words. God looks on the heart. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. A listener writes, "Unshackled has made me see that following Christ is a lot more than going to church." Well, we agree, and hope you remember to thank the manager of this station for broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3273. Heard in the true story of Ron Cook, Part 1, were Michael Wolner, Pam Turlow, Bill Ronsky, Steve Bayorgin, Brandon Ryder, and Don Stroop. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.